This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. To call Michigan's emergency manager law controversial would probably be an understatement. There have been protests, lawsuits, a statewide vote to repeal the law, followed by a new version approved by lawmakers. The Flint water crisis led to criminal charges against two former emergency managers for that city, and new questions about whether the law should be changed or scrapped altogether. But in a recent blog post, Gongwer News Service editor Zach Gorchow asks if the emergency manager law is already, in effect, dead. Zach Gorchow, thank you for being with us.
Hi, thanks, Gordon.
Let's start with the background here. Michigan has actually had an emergency manager law since 1990. So what are the basic parameters here of what the law is supposed to do?
Well, the idea is that if a local government or school district gets into severe financial trouble, that the governor can appoint a person with basically virtual total control over the government. If you're talking about a city, that means the mayor or city manager and the city council lose power. If you're talking about a township board, the supervisor and the board, school district, the superintendent and the school board, and so on and so forth.
And then in 2011, shortly after Governor Rick Snyder took office, the law was changed. And these changes turned out to be rather controversial in some cities.
Yes. So the big change that came with the 2011 emergency manager law is that emergency managers were given the authority to temporarily and unilaterally modify contracts with their employees. That was a power what were then called emergency financial managers did not have under the 1990 law. And this, of course, was very controversial because several emergency managers did exercise that power or used it as a club to force public employee unions to make major concessions. It also created a clear mechanism for bankruptcy to be declared, and that was used in Detroit.
In 2012, the voters in the state had a statewide vote was put on the ballot. The law was rescinded, but lawmakers passed a new version shortly thereafter. Did that new law contain any big changes from what had previously been on the books?
It did. The critics of the law weren't satisfied, but it created the ability for local governments, once the state had determined they were in a financial emergency, to choose the path they wanted to go down, whether they wanted to have the governor appoint an emergency manager, if they wanted to have what's called a consent agreement, which is where the local government, the elected officials of the local government, and the state agree to a series of steps, often giving the local government enhanced powers to make that happen. There's a mediation option. So with those steps put into place, local governments have some choice. Now, if they don't follow through on what they're supposed to do, it could come back to the governor appointing an emergency manager.
And as you said, this really didn't satisfy critics of the law. So there we were for 5 years with an emergency manager law that many people were not very happy about. There was a lot of criticism. Supporters like the governor were saying that it was a good way for cities to move out of financial distress. And, of course, there was always the argument that cities and townships were creations of the state, so the state was ultimately responsible. Then came the Flint water crisis. Has that changed in any way perceptions of the law itself or how it is implemented?
It has. It really brought to focus that the people who are appointed emergency managers traditionally are financial experts. They have a background in finance, accounting, managing budgets. But leading a local government or a school district is about a lot more than just running the numbers and getting the budget back into line. I mean, that tends to be the most pressing issue, is getting the finances in order. But if you're running a local government, as the emergency manager was in Flint, it also means you're making decisions about things like water. And it was Darnell Early, the third emergency manager in Flint, who decided to press ahead with making the Flint River the city's interim water source, even as the Detroit system was offering options for it to stay while awaiting the construction of a new pipeline to Lake Huron. And it was Darnell Early and the subsequent emergency manager, Jerry Ambrose, who refused to put Flint back on the Detroit system when the first major problems started occurring after the switch to the Flint River. So there is a sense now that, and a recommendation, in fact, from a legislative panel that has a majority Republican, that had a majority of Republicans, that there should be consideration to a new setup where there would be three people, sort of a committee approach, where you'd have one person with financial expertise, one person with operational expertise, and one person to serve as a liaison to the public, because that was the other big criticism with Flint, is that you had all these people saying, look at all these huge problems we're having, and yet I don't, as I recall from Darnell Early's sworn testimony to Congress, he never really met with people in a meaningful way to hear these concerns. And there's a sense that there's just not a mechanism for the public to indicate issues or problems that it's having with the government when an emergency manager is in place.
So with all of that being said, does there seem to be any traction for making changes to the emergency manager law?
Right now, no. I would not describe it as like dead on arrival or anything like that, but there just doesn't seem to be a lot of enthusiasm. The governor has defended the law, basically said other than Flint, it has worked well, and he has made no proposals and has sort of deferred to the legislature to see what they do, and he just doesn't seem enthusiastic about changing it in any way. The legislature made these recommendations in the fall, I believe. I'm sorry, not the legislature, the committee made these recommendations in the fall. And there was no action on it afterward. You know, no bill was introduced. No one stepped forward and said, hey, I'm ready to, you know, take the lead on this and get a bill introduced. So there's not a lot of activity there. The Senate Majority Leader, Arlen Meekhoff, doesn't seem terribly enthusiastic about making changes. So it's, you know, sort of a man without a country right now. No one's really taking ownership of trying to make the changes.
So the law is still on the books. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of appetite for making big changes to it. And yet the headline on your blog post is the emergency manager law already in effect dead? Why is that question relevant?
So right now, you have no emergency managers leading any cities, and I believe, as of today, there is only one for a school district. And really, since the second emergency manager law came into place, PA 436 of 2012, you know, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but very few emergency managers have actually been named. The governments that have been put under financial emergency have been taking, you know, the opportunity to use this choice and going the consent agreement route. And the governor seems to be preferring that as well. I mean, the best example of that would be Wayne County, which had major financial problems, was put under a financial emergency, and the Wayne County Executive and County Commission worked out a consent agreement with the state, made all the various changes, so the local elected officials were still in place, but with some enhanced powers, specifically on contracts. And now the county is out of the financial emergency, and the consent agreement is no longer in place, and it's back on course. So it just doesn't seem to be an appetite from anybody right now to install an emergency manager. They've been, you know, they've taken a huge credibility hit since Flint, and you have that standpoint. Then you have now with the Attorney General's investigative team charging the third and fourth emergency managers in Flint, Darnell Early and Jerry Ambrose, with major felonies for their handling of Flint water, there's not a small number of people are saying, how would you get anybody to accept the appointment at this point, given what Darnell Early and Gerald Ambrose are facing now in court, that it becomes an extremely unappetizing appointment. So you have that fact as well. So you have A, nobody really seems to want to appoint an emergency manager right now, not the governor, and certainly not the local governments. B, you have this mechanism now where local governments can choose what they want, and they're going the consent agreement route. And C, you have just the difficulty, it would seem, in finding anybody who would want to serve as an emergency manager if one were actually needed. I'm sure they could find somebody, but it would be a real challenge.
Can you recall, Zach, a time when any of these emergency managers has been suggested for a city that even came up, that it might be tough to find someone to take on the job? Has that ever been a problem that anyone has ever reported or said was an issue?
No. I mean, these were generally pretty, good appointments to get. I mean, they certainly pay well. It looks, it's a nice feather in your cap if you're somebody who with financial expertise to run an operation like this and get it turned around if you do a good job with it. Probably the most challenging one was the finding an emergency manager for Detroit, not out of lack of interest, though, simply because the scope of that job and the skill level required was going to be so much more than the typical emergency manager appointment. They really had to spend quite a bit of time making sure they got the right choice.
Now, one of the things I want to go back to in terms of that timeline you mentioned, that after the new law came in 2012, there were not as many emergency managers appointed. They were more often to go one of these other routes available. It's also probably worth noting that from 2012 on, the economy has been doing better. Could that help explain part of the reason why maybe not as many emergency managers have been needed, that the economy, both nationwide and in the state of Michigan, has been improving?
Certainly. Now, so you had leading up to this rash of emergency managers being appointed in the first two years the governor was in office, 2011-2012, you had two major things going on. You had the crash of the real estate market, and with it, property tax revenues. That really decimated a number of local governments and put them in a very difficult spot. And you also had a reduction in revenue sharing aid from the state to local governments. That also put them in a really bad spot. And you have a number of local governments that had, contracts and employee levels that were set at a different time when they had much larger populations. You've had a lot of population loss in some of these major urban areas that have had emergency managers. So you couple those things together, and you had a real crisis in 2011-2012. Now, property taxes have not come back real strong, even though the real estate market has recovered because of Proposal A and the Headley Amendment. Property tax revenues can only increase by so much as long as you're still in your house. If you have a house that sells, the cap comes off and the numbers adjust. But there are a number of mechanisms that keep property tax revenues from coming back as fast as they went down. That said, you have had some growth, so that has alleviated the need for, you haven't seen the types of crises that were erupting in, really from 2009 through 2012.
I suppose the question I might have then is the real test of whether the emergency manager law is still viable, might that come the next time we start to see Michigan's economy go through a slowdown? At that point, then perhaps there could be more cities, school districts, et cetera, which face some financial troubles, and then we'll know whether or not if this is simply a function of the economy getting better, or whether or not these other factors you've mentioned, such as no one wants the job and the other routes available seem to be more politically palatable, whether those are the things that are really leading to fewer emergency managers being appointed.
Yeah, that's certainly going to be a big test. Once you have the economy takes a turn south, and if the state has to cut money for revenue sharing and if property tax revenues start to fall, you might have more local governments getting intervention from the state. Now, the state has set up new mechanisms, a series of additional triggers to bring early intervention short of an emergency manager to try to prevent the need for an emergency manager. That is a change subsequent to the 2012 law. And the governor has said he is hopeful that those kinds of mechanisms will you know, sort of catch these things early before it gets to the point of a crisis. But you're right. I mean, if the economy goes real bad, you know, all the early warning mechanisms in the world won't change the bottom line. And, you know, whether it's Governor Snyder or the next governor, there will have to be, you know, some difficult decisions made about whether, you know, a consent agreement is enough to solve the issue or if they would actually have to look at an emergency manager.
Now, you mentioned earlier that there doesn't seem to be a lot of traction for making changes to the emergency manager law as we speak. But, of course, we're going to come into a new legislative session, and there will likely be further reports, et cetera, on the Flint water crisis. Is it still possible that there could be something new that comes out that moves the needle here in some way and does create some momentum in the legislature?
Oh, yeah, it's still possible. I mean, the chair of that committee, Senator Jim Stamas, is still in the Senate, and one would presume that he and other members of that Flint committee who are still in the legislature, and not all of them are, a couple of them were term-limited out, will, you know, pick up the ball and start working on some of this stuff. You know, there was a lot of recommendations and potential recommendations in there. And, you know, is it going to be one of those task force reports that sits on a shelf and collects dust and everybody forgets about? Or will they actually try to do some of these things? It's certainly possible. You know, we'll have to see who is willing to make this their cause, because this is going to take one of those issues where a legislator is really going to have to make it his or her cause and put a lot of effort into it to bring this about. It's not the kind of thing that's just going to happen on its own. It's going to be a heavy lift.
So if the law does stay on the books, do you think it's fair to say that the emergency manager law and the appointment of a future emergency manager anywhere in the state will probably be viewed differently in the future because of the Flint water crisis?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think whoever the next emergency manager is that gets appointed is going to be covered with the specter of the Flint water crisis. I mean, it's immediately going to be what people are talking about. It's going to be something that individual is going to have to deal with. And, you know, whoever the next governor is, I suspect there's going to be, let's say there are no changes, but the same law is still on the books. I would have to think, whoever the next governor is, that they're probably going to take operational expertise into greater account than has been in the past. I mean, basically, you know, most emergency managers have been financial people. And I have to think that whoever the next emergency manager is, that you're going to have to go looking more for somebody that has some operational expertise, not just financial expertise. You know, hypothetically, you know, if the next governor is a Democrat, I think you'll see a push for big changes in emergency manager law. But if a Democrat did have to appoint an emergency manager, I'm sure they would put forth a series of mechanisms that deal with public input and operations and public health and safety. And I think that'll be true. You know, you saw, you know, the Attorney General Bill Schuette, basically, you know, when his team charged Darnell Early and Jerry Ambrose, sort of saying a lot of the things that the Democrats have been saying, that there was too much of a focus on numbers and metrics and not enough on people. So if he were the next governor, I would have to think that that's something that would be on his mind if he had to appoint an emergency manager. So we'll just have to see what happens in the post-Snyder era.
Zach Gorchow, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Zach Gorchow is the editor of the Gongwer News Service. A link to his blog post, "Is the Emergency Manager Law Already, in Effect, Dead?" can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.